in order. Roll call.
McGuire.
Here.
Rizal.
Here.
Store.
Here.
Hey, Jim, I didn't even see you.
Bishbotti.
Here.
Clemens.
Here.
Clifford.
Here.
Cohort.
Present. Need approval of the agenda and the addenda.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay, need approval of the minutes for February the 8th, 2019.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion, any correction?
I'm curious. I was just kind of taking a quick look, and did you ever find out what the per page copying cost was for that?
Yeah, that was
20 cents.
20 cents.
Okay.
And it was corrected in the...
Yeah, it's corrected in the resolution that's going to be filed with the clerk.
And the agreement.
Thank you. Madam.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, we got public participation. Seeing none. Any communication from the committee? Okay, Chris?
Well, I'm just got a little burr under my saddle. I sent a couple of folks, Madam Chair, and Mr. Blue and Pranjal, an email about concerns about public about availability about transportation services in Champaign County and whether and some stuff that's kind of come to my attention recently about difficulties in getting around through public transportation. And I understand we have an item on the agenda to, and I'll sit reserve question about that.
All right.
Okay.
Any other communication? Next thing is county and township motor fuel tax claim for February 2019.
Not much on there. That time of year.
Is that this one?
No, it's page 3.
Oh, the motor fuel tax.
Mm-hmm. Can I get a motion?
I'll move.
Second.
And move in second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, we're going to move the addendum up. So
we're going to move on to the item B, resolution authorizing execution amendment of the 5311 grant agreement. Get folks here from RPC to talk about that and want to be mindful of their time so they can get out of here. So you guys take it away.
Hi, my name is Kristen Gisani. I'm the Program Compliance Oversight Monitor for the Rural Public Transportation System, called CCARTS. It's Champaign County Area Rural Transit System. We get grant applications each year to apply for state and federal funds to operate this public transit system. So each year we have to have county board approval because Champaign County is the grantee. So each year the application includes projected ridership and vehicle miles, which is based on trends from previous year and how ridership is now. Coordination within the community with other human service transportation and public transportation options. System fares, level of service and service structure, and any changes from for this fiscal year. So here we have a breakdown of the funding from last year to this year, which is included in the packet, the whole budget there, but The 5311 funds, that doesn't change each year. That's the same amount. But our state, downstate operating funds, that does change year by year, which is about 10%. Our service contract, we have one with the Village of Rand Hool. We have increased that by 1% from fiscal year 19 to fiscal year 20, and then the next year for a cost of living increase. We have calculated fare box revenue that we collect, and this year we do not have a county contribution, so that's not included, but that was included last year. And this year, instead, we're using public transit account funds, which is an account where we put the service contract revenue. Are there any questions on the budget?
So who's getting this money from the state, and how are they getting more money from the state? That's just their appropriations going up every year? I mean, they don't...
That's an allocation that is set by IDA. IDA okay. is the agency providing the funding to us, and it's an allocation set by the state for all the different rural transportation agencies around the state that we get a little bit of increase every year for that
okay.
funding. But the federal funding is always the same.
Okay. So we can expect to get that?
Yes.
Okay, great.
So far. For the time that we didn't have a budget approved,
yeah.
We didn't get the funding. Then
yeah.
MTD affronted all that cost,
yes.
and then we paid it back.
Great, thank you.
All right. Other questions on the budget? So each year we send a report to IDOT with the budget variances. This is an increase or decrease by at least 10%. So this year we have an increase for dispatcher salaries and wages. This is mainly so some administrative staff from MTD can sort of step away, and so we can hire a part-time person to work and add to the staff there, which will cost less for C-carts. So that's where the increase in the dispatcher salaries and wages come from. And then the fringe benefits in accordance with that new hire will also increase. And then we have an increase for the advertising and promotion media, and that's so we can spend more to promote the service because we want more people to know about the rural transit system.
Would this be an appropriate time to ask how have you come up with a plan on how you're going to do more advertising and public engagement?
Yes, we actually approved a plan for this fiscal year at our last Rural Transit Advisory Group meeting. So we're going to be using a lot of different advertising sources, so newspaper, radio, TV, and even yard signs, because not everyone has internet and access to other services like that. So people who are driving around town and don't have access will see, oh, well, we can take a ride on C-carts.
And the signs are bilingual?
We can make them bilingual, yes.
We translate all the materials, at least into Spanish.
Okay, good.
Because I'm free label for that purpose, but not all the languages. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't take much, perhaps, to throw on a QR code or something like that somebody could kind of use for other languages, because we have a large population from Vietnamese and
French.
China and
French,
Congolese,
kind of
yeah.
Printed materials are a different challenge, but at least the C-CARTS website, through Google Translate, you can translate that information to
sure.
a number of,
sure.
there's 80 different languages that you're able to translate that to. So
I've used Google Translate.
Basic writer information.
Good luck. It sort of works.
Correct. It's not going to be conversational language, but as far as kind of those basic the basic information that you need to get to someone so they have the ability to ride, I mean, that is still preserved there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I kind of informing churches and different ethnic groups.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
talking about the service in general. We do have a Rantoul specific service as part of our general rural Champaign County. The fixed route service runs from 5 to 8 a.m. and then 3 to 6 p.m. in Rantoul alone. It's a $2 fare, and it does deviate for persons with disabilities. All of the buses have lifts and are ADA equipped. There are three 14-passenger buses that go on three different routes around Champaign County. This is different from last year, where there was one route with three buses going all the way around Rantoul, which took a lot more time. So this year in November, or last year in November, we switched from one route in north Rantoul, and then one that goes east-west, which took workers out to the industrial complex because we have a lot of employment trips, and then one in south Rantoul. And then we have a route that goes from Rantoul to Champaign-Urbana, which is called the Rantoul Connector, and that's a $5 fare, one way.
In terms of the fares, I know MPD, you know, gives passes to like seniors and people with disabilities. Have you thought about doing something like that, especially for people who are, for example, Medicaid eligible?
Medicaid is a whole, it's very challenging to handle, but we have thought about doing something like that. Chris in Vermilion County does do that, and they do some Medicaid trips in Champaign County, but as of currently, we do not do that.
Especially given that the fare box revenue is like 5% of your total revenue, you know, that seems like something that you know, might enable the ridership to include people who are just not able to get around otherwise, especially if they're disabled and not able to work. Because, you know, $5 each way can be a lot.
Well, yeah, it is, but I mean, that's kind of what you had paid for a cab ride around Champaign.
Sure, but I mean, that's not good.
I guess.
Well, yeah.
So I guess one point, so passengers with a disability or someone that's over the age of 65, they are receiving a reduced fare.
Okay.
So for someone that falls in one of those categories, it's a $2 ride from Rantoul to Champaign-Urbana.
Okay.
Actually, it's a $2 ride pretty much anywhere in the system.
Okay.
For someone that falls within those categories.
Okay.
That $5 fare is for someone that's under the age of 65.
Sure.
Or is ambulatory or able to, they don't need the accessibility features of the
vehicle.
Gotcha.
And we do have about 50% of our riders are seniors and 30% have a disability.
Wow.
So we are meeting.
Just out of curiosity, what is the percent
utilization?
Yeah, utilization, say, especially for some of these. Is it like quarter full, half full?
It is increasing. I know a couple of months ago we did have a bus that was full, so that's a good sign. It just depends on our ability to increase service depends on how many buses we are able to get from IDOT each year. And our ability to hire drivers, which is tied to our funding.
I was just curious about it because it said you cut off at 6 p.m. and I kind of wondered if that was enough time for people to get around.
That isn't something that was listed in our survey as an issue, but like I said, we don't have the funding to serve anything past that. Right now we're at capacity with our funding.
Aren't those improved hours in the morning? Weren't you not able to not go as early as 5 before? Is it always been 5 in the morning that you were?
You're correct. It used to be 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it used to be.
And so that earlier start time is because of and part of that agreement, that contract that we have with the Village of Rantoul. You know, if that weren't in place, it would end up going back to that 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
But that was one of the things that they were really looking for in trying to get that workforce, you know, to their jobs by 6 o'clock in some cases.
Yeah,
so
that's good. I think that'll help ridership too. And maybe improve the hours later if we get more money.
Yeah,
it's a virtuous cycle.
And so when we're not doing fixed route, we serve demand response, which is a call-ahead service. You have to call 48 hours in advance, and it doesn't follow a fixed route. It goes to your place and takes you directly. As I said, Rantoul pays a service contract with us. This year it is increased by 1%. Like I said, it will increase the following year. As part of our capital funds that we get, we'll be installing new benches for the stops up there and physical stop signs for the fixed route. And as I mentioned, we updated our fixed route in November.
So when you say Rantoul pays, who's actually paying that? Is it the businesses or is the village?
The village.
Okay. All right.
That was one of the challenges when they were doing visioning process in Rantoul. And one of the top issues that were raised by the people in Rantoul was transportation. Related to job trips going through the companies that they have there. Then the village, I was part of that committee, and we have worked with the village for several years on that. And the final approach was to sign a contract with C-Cards to provide the service for them. And we started providing that service 3 years ago, 2016, yeah, almost 3 years ago. We signed a contract for 2 years, and last November we renewed the contract with the 1% increase. But as you can see from the ridership has been increasing constantly since the service was put in place.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know if you can read the legend, but the orange is when the service started, the blue is the following year, and the green is fiscal year 19, which is right now. So it has been increasing.
That's really impressive. I add to that, I think, that... that was nice. Can I see the front of squirrel, I guess. I think it's good to see the ridership improve in the earlier hours, because that might bring the businesses in just as they see improvement and additional ridership, because then they'll have more funds to improve the system for Rantoul.
If we're going to help people get to where they need to be employed, to their places of employment.
Right.
That's exactly right, Jim.
I guess, have you explored like working with the employers to get funding from them?
Yes.
Yeah, that's been the issue.
Mm-hmm. That the village was taking is that they were interested in entering an agreement with us, with C-Carts, and they were going to be the ones that were pursuing that side of it. Because they already have a relationship somewhat built in. The village owns the utilities in Rantoul, and so there's already that kind of relationship between those employers and the village due to that nature. And so their tactic, at least from the beginning, is that they always said that they wanted to be the ones that approached those agencies to help pay for that service.
Yeah.
So we couldn't answer those questions specifically, how that's going or where that is. But.
Well, I know that so far, because we are doing right now the transportation plan for Rantoul, and I asked that question to the mayor. They haven't been successful to get any funding from the companies yet.
Okay.
So this is for C-Cards overall, not just Rantoul. We serve Mahomet, Gifford, Fisher, any part of rural Champaign County. We just have the one fixed route in Rantoul. So out of our total ridership, Rantoul, it makes up about 84% of the total ridership. You can see a breakdown of the fixed and demand. Of course, the fixed is only Rantoul, but of the demand response trips, Rantoul makes up 68% of those. And our total 2018 ridership was 28,944.
You need to give up more money, John.
That's the answer.
Always is.
Always is, yeah. Well, maybe we can come up with a creative strategy about that.
So I showed the Rantoul ridership, but this is the total C-Cards ridership. Fiscal year 16 is purple, then green, then red, and then blue is current. So it is increasing.
So the Rantoul record show, that was within Rantoul or from Rantoul too?
That's within Rantoul.
Oh, that was within Rantoul.
You have to keep in mind that we started providing rural transportation services in Champaign County beginning in 2011 only.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a battle that we can to be able to implement rural transportation services in Champaign County. The philosophy of the county board, when we brought this to the county board, was that the county does not have any funding to provide for rural public transportation. The compromise that we had with the county board when we were able to get the funding from IDOT to start the service was that we were never going to ask to the county board to provide any funding to continue running the service. And so far we haven't done it, but we have the limitation that people want to extend the hours, provide more service, but we don't have the funding to do so. Mm-hmm. We are doing the best with the money that we have.
Well, sure, and I applaud your guys' efforts in doing this and expanding things, as Jim, you know, was pointing out, and hopefully we can continue this.
And the idea was when the funding was allocated that someone directly from the county to run the service, to do what we are doing now. But at that time, the county administrator talked to us, RPC, because we were the ones doing all the evaluation and the planning and surveying and all that. And she said, we don't have the capability, staff capability to do it. Could you please do it? And we are doing it. Then, that's the history behind all this for those of you who are new.
So the last that I have here is some survey results. We have to do this each year as part of the grant application to see where we're doing well and what we can work on. So this is from January and February of 2019. We use several different methods to get surveys because it's hard, as you may know, to get people to fill them out. There were phone surveys, we had an online initiative posted on the C-Carts website, the co-op's Facebook page, Rantoul Village posted on their website and their Facebook as well. And then we had paper surveys that were distributed on the buses. So we got 36 responses, and the main trip type is medical with employment second, which goes along with our quarter reports that we get for the main trip type. We asked them what they would do if C-Cart service didn't exist, and 61% said that they would have someone drive them, while 31% said that they would not be able to make the trips otherwise. 67% said that they were very satisfied with the service, and 28% said that they are satisfied with the service. Of the people that we surveyed, those who ride, ride often, so almost 4 to 5 days of the week was the highest, with 2 to 3 days out of the week was the second highest response. We asked them whether or not the route changes in November were beneficial for them, and it was split evenly between yes, no, not applicable, and that wouldn't be applicable to people who do demand response rides. We asked them where they would be interested in having bus stops, so like Mahomet would be an example, but a lot out of the responses we got the only responses that were actually in rural Champaign County were in Rantoul. We had some from Danville and Paxton, which would not be in our service area. Of the obstacles preventing people from using C-Carts, 50% said that there were no issues, obstacles for them using C-Carts. 25% said hours of operations were a challenge. Some wanted 24-hour service. Some wanted service late night. And then 22% said the advanced reservation for demand response, which is 48 hours, was a burden on them.
Are the responses that we're getting, that you're getting, primarily, or what percentage of them would be from C-Carts users? Nearly all of them?
They're all C-Carts users.
Okay, so...
Are you talking about Rantoul in specific?
Well... I'm not sure. Possibly, yeah, Rantoul, maybe all of them. What I'm kind of digging for is the unserved, the people who, for whatever reason, are not using the C-Carts because it doesn't go where they need to go, or the time is a problem, and or maybe it's a long way to a bus stop or something like that. I've kind of recently become kind of aware of that population, and so I just raised that because you're kind of communicating or pulling the users, which is a commendable thing, but I just, there's a number of folks who are not yet being.
It's like the bullet holes in the plan.
And we have captured that population. I don't know if you are aware, but at this time we are in the process of updating our long range transportation plan for the Champaign-Urbana area.
Good.
As part of doing that, last spring and summer and fall, we attended several public events, over 25 public events. And the events that we attended were on the areas that defined by Title VI are areas that require attention, neighborhoods where there is a high proportion of people who don't speak English, or neighborhoods where there is a high proportion of African Americans or seniors, and all that. We attended all those events and collected input. We have collected all that information about the concerns of the community regarding public transportation. We are in the process of developing a plan to establish strategies to address those problems, but at the same time, all that input that we have collected, if it is related to public transportation within Champaign-Urbana, we have passed all those comments to MTD. They have knowledge of all those comments, and they have the details of what the people want. Then we have done that with all the input that we received. We passed those comments to the city of Champaign, city of Urbana, MTD, Village of Savoy, depending on the type of comments that we have received. But MTD has those comments, and for the comments that are outside of the Champaign-Urbana, and we work with MTD on addressing those comments. For the comments that are outside of the Champaign-Urbana area, we also have a plan that is called the Human Services Transportation Plan for the Champaign-Urbana area and also for the rural areas, where we have a lot of strategies that we are working on implementing, and Kristen can talk about what we have been doing regarding that.
Very, very good, and I guess my next step would probably be to go sit in on some of the MTD meetings. Okay, sounds like, oh joy. Thank you.
Told you were opening a Pandora's box there.
Well, you know, I'm kind of one of those persons, if I kind of, you know, if I'm going to go wave my finger, I better go and
go
attend
all in.
Some meetings, yeah.
All the way.
Please.
Okay. So the last bit that we have, we had people rate C-cards on certain things like timeliness, attitude of the driver, and so that was based on one through five being the highest. And so we're ranked very highly for attitude for driver. That was our highest. And then at 4.1, our lowest was ability to connect to other transportation options. That's also because a lot of people didn't answer that one. They put not available because they hadn't tried to connect to other transportation options. When asked how C-cards could better meet your needs, we had many comments, but these were just some of them. They included having bike racks, weekend routes, and scheduling 2 days in advance. It's hard to plan, which is something we know about. Extending hours of operation, like I said, some people wanted 24 hours or late night service. Mm-hmm. And then we had some positive comments saying that all of their needs have been met.
The 48-hour issue, aren't we trying to update the system for that? Didn't we get a grant for that?
Yeah, we have that system in place. It's still, we implemented that in this past September. We're still kind of feeling out some of the newer features of that. We are working on a couple things that should be able to cut down on some of this. I can tell you that in practice, a lot of times, if someone calls us and we have that space open, we are scheduling that trip, even if it is the day before. We're not really able to take day of, in most cases, requests for things, because the schedules have already been kind of set, and so we know where we're going to be heading. So our rules do still state that we want people to call us 2 days in advance and schedule a trip, but I can tell you in practice there are quite a few people that call the day before. As long as it's fitting in, we are taking those as well.
Is this kind of widely known or kind of informally known?
I mean, our official rules are still we're asking people to call at 48 hours in advance. Not everyone, someone they call and say, hey, I've really got to get somewhere tomorrow. If we can make that happen, we do try to do that.
But it's kind of an informal sort of thing.
Correct.
That's all I have. Any other questions?
So I was doing the math in my head. Your budget's like $900,000 for last year and $30,000 rent. So that's like $30 per ride. Is that a reasonable way of thinking about it? And how does that compare? I mean, that's not a number that really surprises me because rural transportation is hard, and you're doing this direct connector service, which is particularly sort of complicated. But how does that compare to other rural transportation services? Do you have an idea of that?
I can certainly get that for you. In our quarterly reports, we do break down the cost per trip. It is lower than 30, I know that. But I can send you the exact number if you would like.
Okay.
It is improving with our ITS implementation. It's a system that schedules software, and that's making our service more efficient and cost less per trip.
Okay, cool. Sort of on, I'd also sort of be curious as to how that breaks down between the fixed route service and the direct service. You know,
the cost.
Yeah, like how much of, so you, about 50% of the rides are for the fixed service, and about 50% are for the direct service. How does that break down in terms of the budget? And that's sort of a difficult question to answer, maybe.
Yeah.
But one thing that some municipalities are doing, as you're probably aware, is contracting with Uber, for example, to cover some of that last mile and short distance services. So I wonder if you've thought about something like that.
Do you want to talk about Uber?
Or local taxi services?
I work with MTD, so I can only speak from our side of stuff. We've explored that a little bit. We operate what we call our half-fare cab service, and so that's for passengers with disabilities or over the age of 65 that hold a dash card. Within our district boundaries and on days that we're operating, we're willing to split a cab fare with up to a certain dollar amount a year with a passenger. I have attended some more national conferences with agencies that have done this, and some of them are starting to step back from that. In a lot of cases, it does work, but there are some issues involved with that. So we haven't pursued that just yet. It is something that's on our radar, and we've at least kind of looked at it. Typically, what we're finding is that it works a lot better in areas with a higher density, just with the ability of vehicles on the street and like that. But it is something on the list of stuff that we're kind of looking at, but a little bit from the distance.
Okay. So. That was a good question. Because there's areas that I know that aren't served by the bus.
The one difficulty with like an Uber or like their business model is that they have to more or less approve a area to get out of that, and so that still doesn't necessarily help us serve some of these more rural areas because someone's authorized to operate within Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, but they may not be able to drive out to Mahomet and do those trips or something like that.
But taxi services can.
Yeah. Correct.
When you say Uber or Lyft, please, I'm going to try to encourage you to say taxi too, because those folks are local and pay and are local businesses. And
typically what we experience with a taxi service is just a fairly higher cost. I've talked with passengers that ride two parts that had ridden taxis from Grand Tulum and back, and you're talking $25 to $30 for a trip, as opposed to the $5 that were. Sometimes it's cost prohibitive, just depending on where you're going and where you're coming from. But yes, that is part of the overall mobility picture.
I think the idea of a lot of this is why it might cost something right now at $30 or $25, whatever the number actually is in the smaller rural areas to keep people in their homes that may need a ride to a doctor or go to the store, which is far cheaper than putting them
in
the system somewhere else. And It saves this, you know, a lot more money than that. As far as Rantoul, which is probably our largest outside population, obviously, building a system that can handle, you know, more people in an area that's been one of the towns that's been struggling the most, mass transit, it takes time and money. And we seem to be doing that well to help that community maybe thrive a little better than it has. So I think in all areas, we're doing a lot better than we have in a way that's probably been using MTD to support us and RPC. You know, I think it's more of a model. I don't know, you know, step by step.
You hit one of the nails right on the head that with that service and rent tool that we're operating, so the growth that you've seen in that, we're still using the same number of vehicles, we're still using the same number of operators. And so with a deviated fixed route service like that, the major upside to that is you can fill the vehicle and everyone's kind of going to, you know, similar places, and so your efficiency can really, you know, bump from that. And we've seen that over the last, you know, year or two, where we're allocating the same number of resources to that, and we're seeing quite a bit higher ridership. And so there may be some opportunities to look at other places in the county and how you might be able to create that a little bit.
This is the second time that I've heard this presentation since I've been on the board, and I commend you guys for the good work that you're doing, and I appreciate the presentation and the and what you're trying to accomplish. And as you say, the what you've been given.
Well, it would be great if we can apply the same that we have done in Rantoul to other communities, because that will improve efficiency and will provide more funding to match the funding that we are getting, that will be able to expand the service and serve the county better. Then it's a matter of those communities working with us to make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen.
Okay. Any more discussion?
We need to vote on these resolutions, Rita, or what's what's the process here?
We need to get the approval, then it's in the consent agenda for the county board, that we send all the resolutions for the application to
So we need to vote on resolution authorizing execution agreement, amendment of section 5311 grant agreement.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
And then on page 6, you need to vote on the public transportation applicant ordinance, Rita.
So moved.
Second.
Moving second, open for discussion. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
And then the acceptance of the special warranty, correct?
Mm-hmm. I guess I don't have to all get anything, everything. Go ahead.
After due consideration, and I move. I so move.
Okay, then moving second. Any discussion?
I'll second. Who was the second?
I'll second.
You're the second.
Oh, I thought
sorry.
Jim second.
No, it's okay. Fine, Jeff.
Okay.
Thank you for coming up and sharing.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
And Chris, if you're really interested, and not all joking aside, in the transportation plan for Champaign County, I don't know when the next LRTP steering committee meeting is, but those are, if you want to see them,
kind of the meat of what's going on, we can get them on that list, couldn't we?
Yeah, it's early April. I'll send you an email with the invitation, but I can put the list.
Okay, here, I'm going to give you an official business card, since I have one. And if you would be so kind, yes.
Another meeting.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, so we'll move back to the regular agenda, starting back with item 8, resolution awarding of the contract for the construction of County Road 9, section number 18004490ORS. This project was bid on March 5th, so you have a copy of the bid tab in your packet that shows the bids on the project. The estimate on the project was $3,258,000. Two bidders, which is typical for these types of projects for us in Champaign County, because we have two major road contractors. We had Cross Construction and Open Road Paving. Cross Construction was the low bidder at $3,184,720. And then Open Road was just above them about $50,000. But I would recommend that we award the contract to Cross Construction. So this is kind of a unique process. Honestly, this is the first time we've done a full-depth recycling project in Champaign County. We've done a lot of cold-in-place recycling where we only go down 4 inches and recycle the in-place asphalt. But on this particular roadway, this is just a shot of when we went out and dug up the roadway. We've got an old roadway on top of a roadbed that the roadbed is failing, not just the top of the roadway. So you can see there on that tape measure, we've got 12 to 14 inches of roadway above the soil that's there. So we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 inches of in-place gravel base, and then we've got 5 to 6 inches of asphalt. So the process that this does, and I was going to run a quick YouTube video for you. It's about a minute and 51 seconds here, but it'll kind of give you an idea of what we're going to be doing on this project.
I appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, no problem.
You got popcorn?
Pre-spread cement and foam bitumen, a Stroymaster binding agent spreader pre-spreads small amounts of cement. Computer-controlled metering feeders ensure high spreading accuracy. Behind the spreader, a water and a bitumen tanker truck. The Vidgen recycler draws in the binding agents via hose connections. The recycler is equipped with push bars to push the two tanker trucks along. The powerful milling and mixing rotor granulates the damaged pavement layers. The pre-spread cement is mixed in at the same time. A special injection bar with expansion chambers produces the foamed bitumen and sprays it in. Water added to the process causes the bitumen to foam abruptly, expanding it to many times its original volume and distributing it evenly in the mineral aggregate mix. At the same time, the amount of water required for the mixing process is added via a second injection bar. Compaction is effected by ham single drum compactors, one with a pad foot drum followed by a second one with a smooth drum. Next comes a grader for finished grading. A tandem roller and a pneumatic tire roller complete the compaction process to produce a uniform sealed surface structure.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so it's been around for a while, but Illinois, Illinois, everybody lives in Illinois. Illinois is always slow on the uptake on all these things.
What's this called?
Full depth recycling. We've got a company, I don't know who actually will do, Cross doesn't do the full depth recycling. They'll have a subcontractor do that. There's a company in Decatur called Dunn Company who does a lot of this work, both in the state of Illinois and nationwide, and they've got all the equipment that you just saw. And then once that process is done and the roadway is compacted and we basically rebuilt the base of the roadway, then we'll come back in and put 2 inches of asphalt binder down and another 2 inches of asphalt surface. So it'll end up with a 4-inch asphalt surface on the top of this. And most of our roads, the subbase is pretty good. It's just the top layer that starts to fail after 20, 25 years. This particular roadway, we've got a lot of variance in the subbase. And we've had full depth failures in the roadway over the last 5 or 10 years. So we really got to get all the way down through what's there. And all this does is mix it all up. It injects cement with an asphalt binder and mushes it all together, basically.
So that wheel that was digging up the road, that's like 2 feet in diameter then?
No.
It's huge.
6 foot in diameter.
Yeah. And it's got teeth, you know, that are twice as big as the end of this pin, probably. They're spaced about this far apart. So it's really, okay. I mean, the RPMs that it takes to run one of those is incredible.
Yeah.
To chew that asphalt and that rock.
Wow.
Do it all together. Wow. So I'll definitely send out an email to everybody when we're doing the process if you want to come up and take a look at
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
You said that the base and the sub-base had some problems. That kind of gets into my area. What are you doing for treatment of the sub-base?
We're not going down into the dirt at all.
Oh, you're not?
No. There's an area where we may have to. We didn't put it in the plans, but I'm a little suspicious that we may have to, for a certain portion of this, go down and do some cement or some lime modification in the soil. But we don't know that, and I didn't want to just put it in there and add cost to the job. But we've actually already have a bid. It's the same equipment that would do it, and we would put cement into it. So we have a bid price for cement. We'll have the equipment on the job. So if that needs to happen, we'll make it happen. It's kind of a forced account on the job. But we typically, if you have a foot of everything with your rock and your asphalt and you can chew that all up, that's going to make a heck of a base for you. You don't have to get down
into
the soils.
So you're just going to kind of densify the base.
Yes. Yeah, densify and solidify it. Because right now, that rock that's underneath there, I think it came out of the Dillsburg pit, which is an old gravel pit. It's that angular rock, that old kind of river run type of aggregate.
Oh, then it wouldn't be angular. It might be...
It's rounded.
Rounded.
I mean, yeah, that's what I meant. It's so... Once you put the cement and the asphalt in there, it'll help glue it all together and make it one kind of homogeneous base.
Wow.
So it's quite a process.
Yeah, I guess it is. And this has been used quite a including over glacial terrain.
Yes. Yeah. And we looked at both processes on this one. We looked at using straight cement.
I'm going to have to go back to school and learn how to build a road again.
So we looked at doing a mixed design with straight cement where you just incorporated cement and water into it and mixed it all together and compacted it. But that got so rigid that it actually, what they've seen in those types of applications is the base actually starts to crack.
Yeah.
Because it makes basically a weakened cement, concrete.
Yeah.
And you get cracking in the base, whereas the asphalt...
That's where the water gets in, and that's where you're...
It'll still have some flexibility to it. It'll retard those cracks from coming through. But when they did straight asphalt, it didn't have quite enough strength, so we're putting one cement in with 4% asphalt, kind of a mixture to get those strengths that we need to have it be flexible enough that it won't crack, but be rigid enough to hold up the roadway. So it's kind of a science and an art of doing this. That's why that picture I showed you was actually a hole we dug in the road.
Yeah.
We fill up 5-gallon buckets full of material and take them to a lab.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do a lot of lab testing and mixed designs in the labs over in Indianapolis and down in Nashville to come up with this mixed design.
Do you use any, would this be an application where you might use some of these fibers and and so forth to kind of help?
If we got down into the dirt, you know, there's some of those tensar fibers, you know, those triangular ones where they put down that basically separates the dirt from the rock and holds everything up above the dirt, but I don't think we're going to need to do that on this application.
Actually, what I was thinking of, I think, wasn't there some, you know, like little fibers and so forth that they were introducing in some of these things to kind of help hold stuff together?
They're doing that in the seal code application.
In the seal code application, they do now, yes.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anything in the base.
So the emulsion that's put in there actually has a polymer in it. So it's got a fiber in it.
Okay.
To actually help
Meld
it together. And
yeah.
And all the oil that we use when we do our oil letting in April, all the oil that we use to do our seal coats now has that polymer modification in it as well.
Okay.
So it's kind of neat because if you pick up a rock, you can actually stretch and see the polymer in there. You can see it stretching in the oil.
Well, that's kind of what you want.
Yeah.
And that kind of helps add strength in laterally,
yeah,
and so forth.
So when they talk about engineered emulsion, it's not just a typical emulsion that a township would use on their roadways to seal coat their roads. They actually engineer the emulsion to be what it needs to be on a particular roadway based on the base asphalt content, the amount of polymer, how stiff the asphalt is or how soft the asphalt is. There's a lot of engineering that goes into that. So we're not just going to Walmart and buying an emulsion off the shelf. We're getting it from a plant that's producing the exact engineered emulsion that we need for this particular project.
What's the longevity on these roads?
25 years.
25?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the good thing, once we get that base stabilized, then in 25 years we can come back and deal with the top. We shouldn't have to go back down into the base and do this again. So that's the key, is to get that, everything's built from the bottom up in a road. You know, if you don't have a good base, you don't have a good road.
So, and then once you put the base, you put the blacktop on?
Yes.
How many inches of blacktop?
4 inches.
4 inches, and then this is 12?
This is 10.
10.
Mm-hmm. Because at 12, we were starting, in some of the cores that we did, we would have been getting into the dirt, and we don't want to bring that dirt up into the mix because it causes problems. 10, we're totally staying up in the rock and the asphalt through the whole project.
And it allows for stretching and contraction?
Yep, exactly. I mean, we get 20 below, and then we get 100 degrees, you know, so you got to get that flexibility in there for the expansion and contraction based on the weather and based on the moisture that gets into it, you know, and then it freezes, and you got to have some flexibility in there. And that's why we shied away from the concrete or the cement option as a 100% cement additive, because it's just so rigid. They're seeing problems with it, actually.
Is this something you're going to be using on all the roads from now?
Most of our roadways don't have base problems.
Yeah.
Most of our roadways are just the surface after 20, 25 years becomes brittle and old and oxidized, and that's where we do the process like we used last summer, where we go in and we just recycle the top 4 inches of the asphalt and get that crack pattern out of it, restabilize it, and then put new asphalt on top. So this is one of the only roads where we probably will use this process, because this road was never built with a good base. It was an old township road that was built up over years and years, and it never got the proper base put into it when it was built over the years.
Jeff?
Yeah.
Forgive me, I forget the name of that product that we sat down and talked about. Are you going
base
to
Base One?
Base One, thank you. Are you going to try that on this?
No.
No.
This was well into the process before I even...
Because I believe that I've got 2 miles that I'm going to full depth, and I believe I'm going to try it on that.
Yeah, I think it's... It'll probably work. I'm glad you're going to try it, because I wouldn't want to try it on this road and spend $3 million. You know, if you're going to do a $100,000 road rehab, that's a different deal.
Yeah, that's just a $100,000 road rehab.
Yeah.
But I'm really thinking about trying that after seeing that, because I've got a couple roads that's got some severe base issues.
And I think that's going to be a great product for the townships. I really do.
Yeah.
At the risk of extending, could you explain what that is, Brad?
Could we?
Or maybe
at 10
not.
O'clock I have to leave. So.
Okay, excuse me.
I do have one question.
On
one first.
Yeah.
Are either, is this going to be union labor or non-union?
Oh yeah, it's
okay.
All union.
Okay.
So The contractor, I don't believe necessarily has to be union, but they have to pay prevailing wage.
Okay.
That's the state law.
Okay.
But Cross does have union labor, okay. Yes. So we need to have a motion and a vote on this, Madam Chair.
Second.
Okay. Moved to second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
And then item number nine, petition requesting resolution approving appropriation of funds from the county bridge funds for the Condit Township project. You'll see there on your last page of your packet that was mailed to you the location map for the culvert. This project actually is already pretty much done. What happened is we got a ton of rain and the culvert failed and everything failed underneath the roadway, and there was a hole in the roadway about as big as this table.
Wow.
Yeah.
That you could have lost a whole car in. So we've helped the township put in a new culvert. And we're kind of back funding it now because it was more of an emergency project and we had to deal with it when we needed to deal with it. But so we provide the culvert and then he provided the labor to install the culvert. The estimate was $4,500 and I would ask for your approval of that petition and resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Moved to second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
And then you have a semi-annual review of the closed session minutes. I believe Brad has a motion, Madam Chair.
Ready?
Go for it.
Pursuant to the statutory requirement to conduct a semi-annual review of all closed meeting minutes, I move that the closed meeting minutes of the Highway Committee be maintained as closed to protect the public interest or the privacy of the individuals.
Second.
And that's a recommendation by the state's attorney.
Understanding that there, that we don't have any.
We don't have any. Or,
it's a procedural bill.
No, we haven't done the vote.
Okay, motion.
We got the motion in a second.
Moving second.
Yep.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
The only other thing I had under other business, just real quickly before Mr. McGuire has to go, is we interviewed this week for a highway maintenance position after we re-kind of formulated how we're doing business with, giving Josh Restek the foreman's position as a working foreman, and John Cooper is the operations engineer. So we're filling a position that's been funded for the last year. We had a guy retire in November of 2017. So we're finally getting around to filling that position. And then we'll have 10 maintenance workers, including our on-road foreman and two mechanics, which is where we want and need to be. So we'll be extending an offer to somebody next week for that position.
Okay. You don't need us to do anything about it.
Nope. It was approved in the budget.
Okay, there's no peer report. And the designated things to go on consent agenda.
Eight, nine, and ten, B, C, and D.
8, 9, 10, B, and C.
B, C, and D.
And D.
B, C, D.
Yeah, it's on the
addendum. Okay, is there anything else to go in front of the board? Committee, rather. Seeing none, we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How you doing? Just in time, Jim.
Yes. Nice work, so.
You don't work.
No, I'm fine.
I want to be here so I can get my check.
It's in April. I don't know. We meet before.
Yeah, and that's fine. It's fine.